From YouthQ, I'm Randy Edwards. This is QCast. Today is a special day because this is our 50th episode of our podcast. What started out in 2019 as an every other week production eventually evolved into weekly episodes when the pandemic hit last March. In these 50 editions, we have interviewed dozens of guests and have discussed a wide array of topics and concerns for student choir directors and our young singers. Today, our four guests are students from across the United States. These bright young women and men will address some of the challenges they are currently facing. From their heartfelt sharing, we as student choir leaders will gain new clues and information into meaningful ministry with this age group. In every second of this episode, I urge all of us to listen for the deeper messages these wonderful students are communicating with us. Herein lie crucial keys to ministry with youth in 2020 and beyond. It's Tuesday, November 17th, 2020. This is episode 50 of QCast. In individual interviews via Zoom, I posed the same basic questions to all four guests. As we might expect, each had unique responses. However, there were some striking similarities. One question went something like this. If you had a superpower that would allow you to push a magic button and totally fix one problem in this world, what would it be? One said, poverty. I would end all poverty. Another, all the political strife and disagreements. I would make us united. A third student said, hunger. Hunger affects everything, and I would be sure that everyone has enough to eat. And finally, one astute student, very much in touch with the here and now, said, COVID-19. I would bring this pandemic to an end immediately. Different answers, very similar sentiments, all compassionate, all caring, all empathetic, all wanting the best for their fellow human beings. Matthew Lippe is a 20-year-old sophomore business and marketing major at Kansas State University in Manhattan, Kansas. Matthew's middle school and high school background included singing in the student choir at Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City under the direction of Joyce Blakesley. Matthew, it's good to have you on QCast today, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about how life has been. So, you know, over the past 9 months or so, what have been your biggest personal challenges during this pandemic?
Definitely. My biggest personal challenges for myself, I would say one is just motivation. I mean, definitely with all my classes personally, after spring break, we went all online. So it's for myself, just getting out of bed, just hopping on the online Zoom class, just being very present. Going through all the steps, completing homework and all that. This semester has been a lot of the same, doing a lot of online learning. So just myself finding motivation, just getting outside, being able to experience nature has been something that I've really been trying to focus more on. And then another big important step for myself would be probably my faith journey too. So just trying to stay focused with going to the church and being very present and just being very focused in my walk with Christ. So,
well, that's good. And you mentioned nature a while ago. Is that a source of strength to you?
I would definitely say so. I always feel most relaxed and stress-free when I'm out in nature, just being able to get outside and just enjoy the great weather.
So, Matt, are you in Manhattan at this time?
Yep. So I'm currently up in Manhattan. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't know if you were at home or if you were there on the campus. So you've met the challenges by keeping yourself motivated, spending some time in nature, and also making sure that your spiritual journey is staying in place, right?
Definitely.
Those are good things. Can you describe for us your experience in student choir? You were in Joyce Blakeslee's student choir there in Kansas City. How has this experience helped you through difficult times?
Right. Especially for me, I was in choir for around 7 years. So started in sixth grade and went all the way up to my senior year. So definitely spent a lot of time with Joyce in the Church of the Resurrection Youth Choir. For me, using some of the experiences that we went through, we went on a couple of mission trips. I believe I went on 5 out of the 7 mission trips that we went on. So those were all around 6 to 7 day trips over the summer, going to different destinations throughout the United States. And for myself, I learned a lot about just going with the flow, just being flexible, just realizing that sometimes things aren't going to work out the way you planned it. And especially these past 9 months, I've definitely taking that learning experience from my youth choir that not everything necessarily is always going to go to plan, but you have to be willing to be flexible and to work with the situation that you're given and being able to adapt as whatever is thrown at you. So I can think of a couple instances on our choir trips. Our tour bus would break down and we'd have to all pile into one bus because the other one broke down. And right. Sometimes a hotel wouldn't have a reservation set up and you have to find another place to stay. So there's a lot of different experiences like that where I can see, you know what, I've been through a couple of difficult situations, but we got through them and we were able to adapt and be flexible. And you know what? I think we're going to get through this as well. So it's definitely something that's kept me in a good state of mind over these past 9 months, my experience with the youth choir.
Good to hear. Well, Matt, it's no secret to any of us that things in the world are changing. And we're in a major transition at this point in a lot of different ways. So I want to ask you, particularly at your age and the experiences that you've had, if it were possible for you to take one problem and just magically solve that one problem in the world right now, what would you solve?
For myself, I would probably say world hunger. Having seen firsthand, it's an issue that as much effort and as much different resources we have in place, it's a very difficult issue to be able to fight, because there's a lot of different circumstances that go into hunger. And seeing it firsthand throughout my youth choir, we went on mission trips and we sang in soup kitchens. And I just really wish there was an easy solution that was straightforward on a way to solve it. But there's a lot of different varying problems that go into world hunger. So if I could just snap my fingers and have one problem fixed, it would definitely be world hunger, because I feel like that would make a major difference in the world.
It would. It certainly would. So when we get to the other side of this pandemic, are you hoping the world will be a better place?
I'm definitely hoping that, yes.
So how do you hope that it will be different and better on the other side?
Yep, there's definitely been, I mean, we've seen it the past couple nine months. There's been a lot of struggles throughout the United States especially. But I think at the end of this pandemic, I hope that it just brings everybody closer together and makes everybody more grateful for the experiences that they have with one another. Before going in this pandemic, it was like, oh, I mean, having online classes won't be that bad. Not being able to see friends and family won't be that horrible. We can just meet over Zoom, or we can do FaceTime, something like that. But having done that for the past 9 months, it really makes me miss those in-person connections and being able to talk with people one-on-one and just meeting strangers on the street and be able to talk with them and not have a worry about being 6 feet apart and wearing masks and everything. So I hope by the end of this pandemic, we're a lot more grateful for the experiences that we have with one another and the time that we have, and just realizing that each day is a gift and we've got to use it to the best of our abilities. So,
Matt, good words for us. And thank you for contributing to this podcast today. And we wish you the best. You're a sophomore, right? And you're majoring in business and marketing. We wish you the very best. I will tell you this. You have a wonderful way of communicating with your voice. And that's going to take you far. All the best to you.
Thank you for having me today.
Ruthie Baucom is an 18-year-old high school senior from Augusta, Georgia. For the past 5 years, Ruthie has been an active part of the Augusta Youth Chorale, a faith-based community choir, under the direction of Stanley Pilot. Hi, Ruthie. Welcome to QCast today. I would like to ask you about these months of pandemic. You know, we've been in this for 9 or 10 months. What have been your biggest personal challenges during this time?
I think that one of the biggest challenges for me has been being able to, or I guess not being able to socialize and be with people and see people, because I am a very social person. And so I love getting together with people. And being in lockdown for the first, 3 to 4 months of the pandemic was hard for me. And then another challenge for me has been time management, because I've been kind of stuck at home. And so with a lot of time, with a lot to do as well, but a lot of time. And right. So just not being able to manage time well. And now that I'm working, it's hard to balance work with school as well. So I think those are the main challenges for me.
Well, let's talk about school for just a minute. When the pandemic first hit, were you doing all of your learning online, or did you continue to go to school? How did that work?
So I'm homeschooled. And so let's see, when the pandemic hit in March, all of my learning and everything had to go to Zoom.
Okay.
And that's how we met for other classes that I had.
Right. So talk to us a little bit about, the challenge of being just really kind of stuck off from your friends and away and isolated. How have you worked to overcome those challenges? I mean, what have you done that has helped you get through the time?
Starting in, I guess I would say the middle towards the end of May, we started getting together with people again. And over the summer, things kind of returned to normal. But during the actual, through March to May, I was really thankful for the opportunity to be able to text people and to be able to write letters and just to let others know that I'm thinking of them and they're thinking of me and praying for me, and that even though we're not able to see them, they're still on our minds. That was really a comfort to me.
So, Ruthie, you are in the Augusta Youth Chorale. That's a group that is directed by our friend and colleague, Stan Pilot. And so as you have been in the AYC, how has that helped you through the difficult times?
Well, in March, when the pandemic really started, we had to pretty much just cancel AYC practices every Sunday. And for a while, there was no Zoom meetings either. And so there was really nothing that we were able to do. And then towards the beginning of May, Mr. Stan started doing AYC Zoom meetings so that we could continue going over the music and everything. And it it was a struggle because he tried to get all of us to practice on Zoom, which does not work well when you have about 20 members and everybody with their sound on, everybody trying to sing. That wasn't the best, but it was definitely encouraging to see everybody's faces. And usually in AYC, at the end of May or the beginning of June every year, we have a little tour that we'll do. Sometimes it'll last 3 days, other times it'll last closer to a week, where we'll go out of town somewhere and sing for a few days there. That wasn't able to happen this year because of the coronavirus and everything. But this year we started back up AYC in person, and we're having to sing with masks, but it is an encouragement to me to be able to see a group of people every Sunday, to get together with them, to sing with them. It's encouraging and uplifting to me because I love to sing and I love to sing in a group. It has been an encouragement to me to have at least one thing still be somewhat normal in this time of nothing is normal.
Right. Well, and speaking of nothing is normal, I think you have the Masters golf tournament going on this week in Augusta, correct?
Yes,
and
sir.
So that normally happens in the spring, but now it's happening in November. And I think that's affecting your rehearsals as well, because everything in Augusta kind of revolves around the Masters during that time. So this really is a very strange year for you all. So Ruthie, if you had in your power to choose one problem in the world and you could fix it, what would that be?
That's a really good question. I would probably say just the fact that there are so many disagreements in the world, whether they be political disagreements, religious, or any sort of, really, you name it, any sort of disagreement is probably going on in the world. And so if I had the power to just push a magic button and everything would be okay again, I would probably use it to resolve the disagreements and unite the world through and in Jesus Christ, because he is the one way. And if I had that ability, honestly, that would be amazing.
Yeah, it would. It really would. So when we get to the other side of COVID-19, mm-hmm. who knows what the new normal is going to be? We're still trying to figure that out, right? And when we get to that point, how do you hope the world will be a better place than it was before we got into all of this?
Honestly, I hope that people will realize the United States really is the best country in the world to live in. And I hope that through the pandemic, once we get to the other side of it, if we get to the other side of it, that we will come out more united than we were before.
Great. Ruthie, it's been good to have you here today. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to connecting with you at some point later on. Ruthie, all the best to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity.
Maddie Jones is an 11th grader at Deer Park High School outside of Houston. She's a high school basketball player and also sings in choir at school. For the past several years, Maddie has been a leader in her church student choir at South Main Baptist Church in Pasadena, Texas, where Bobby Miller is her director. Maddie, we're glad to have you here today. I want to ask you about the past 9 or 10 months of this pandemic. What have been your biggest personal challenges during this time?
I would say having to alter my learning environment from face-to-face learning to virtual school. That was a big adjustment for me.
Was it? When we started out this, did you know what a Zoom session was? Had you ever heard of that?
I had not, no.
Yeah, we all had to learn what Zoom meant. So, so how have you met these challenges? I mean, how have you adjusted to this different type of learning?
I tried to just treat it like a normal school day. I'd come and sit at my desk and, you know, I'd have the hours keeping in line with my schedule, and I would take a break in between classes and just tried to treat it the same way.
And you're in person school now, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. You've made that back to classroom again. And you're an 11th grader at Deer Park High School, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. I know you're involved in basketball and in choir. How has that been different? I mean, how has the basketball thing been different this year with the pandemic?
Well, we have to wear masks now during practice, and even for games when we are not scrimmaging, we have to always have it pulled up. And so that was one of the biggest adjustments, because it's obviously harder to breathe and you feel more warm in it. So that was a big adjustment.
What about choir?
Same thing, the masks and learning how to really project your sound through that and maintain good breath support. That was definitely a big change.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about your experience in Bobby Beller's choir at South Main Church in Pasadena there, just south of Houston. What is that like? How has that benefited you and maybe even helped you be able to make it through this pandemic time?
Well, I've always loved going to choir, and so it's just kind of been a second home where we go after youth group now. So we finish with our youth pastor and have a sermon, and then we get to go and sing. And to me, I've always connected to the Lord through singing, so I've really enjoyed that. And there's been a lot of new people joining our choir recently, so it's really helped me broaden friendships and just grow closer to a lot of people.
Well, that community is bound to help through some of the isolation that we have felt through this COVID-19 thing, for sure. So, Maddie, if you had within your superpower to magically solve one problem in the world right now, what would you choose to solve?
I would definitely choose to find a cure for COVID. That way we could return to some normalcy.
Wow. Now, you're the first person who said that. That is really timely. I think I might join you in that. That's wonderful. Yeah. So this question digs a little bit deeper. When we get to the other side of the pandemic, whatever normal is going to be during that time, how do you hope the world will be a better place than it was before all of this started?
I would say that during the pandemic, me and my family, we really grew closer because so many businesses and fun activities were just shut down. So we really grew closer. And so I hope that once we get past the pandemic, that families will keep this sense of unity and stay together no matter how crazy our lives get, just being able to come together and just how we have been. So.
Relationships mean a lot to you, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I can tell that. I can tell. And that's a great thing. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the students and to the directors who listen to QCast? Anything you want to leave us with?
I would say remain strong in your faith no matter the circumstances. God is always in control and he has a plan for us. No matter what happens, we will get where we need to be. We just have to remain strong in our faith and trust that he's going to get us where we need to be.
That is a good, good word, Maddie. Thank you so much for your time and thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Joshua Torrico is a sophomore accounting major at Loyola University in Baltimore, Maryland. During his high school years, Josh sang in the Voices in Praise, or VIP, which is a faith-based community choir in Dunkirk, Maryland. Voices in Praise director Holly Reynolds Lee was so impressed with Joshua's leadership as a high schooler that she asked him to become a choir mentor and a leadership intern during his first 2 years of university work. Joshua continues to use his love of music as well as his natural leadership skills to lovingly serve the young singers in Voices in Praise. Joshua, great to have you on QCast today. I wanted to ask you some questions about the past 9 months or so of this pandemic. What have been your biggest personal challenges during this time?
I would say one of my biggest personal challenges, and I think it's a personal challenge that millions of Americans, not only Americans, but people worldwide having a problem with is it's just finding some time, you know, to do like a mental wellness check on yourself and improving your mental wellness. And, you know, with everything going on, you have COVID, you have the elections, you have, you know, lots of people, lots of famous celebrities dying. And it's just very overwhelming sometimes. And I think one of my biggest challenges in these 9 months was just to take, you know, at least 10 minutes or just some time during the week, just to focus on my well-being, just to, you know, take a break from everything that's going on, you know, take a break from my schoolwork, take a break from watching the news and everything, and just focus on doing something that will take my mind off it and, you know, just push some serotonin in my body.
Right. So do you, is there something that you do? Do you run, or do you ride a bike, or do you get out in nature or shoot baskets, or what do you do for that?
Recently I started running at least once a week, and that's definitely helped at least a little bit. But I think the most frequent thing I do is either listen to music or play a little music myself, just to relax my stress levels a little bit.
Speaking of music, are you an instrumentalist? Do you play piano or guitar?
I am self-taught pianist, kind of, and I taught myself guitar as well. And I was in my high school. When I was in high school, I was in the high school marching band as well for 5 years.
What'd you
play? I played a lot. I played the drum set. I played the xylophone, and I played like a.
Oh yeah.
I played it's what's called marimba. It's like just a huge xylophone.
Well, we have something in common there because I'm a marimba player too.
And are you really?
Percussionist. Yeah, way back in high school, back in the second ice age back there, you know. So I know you also sang in a group called Voices in Praise, which is a community faith-based choir there in Dunkirk, Maryland, that is directed by Holly Lee, one of our favorite directors at Youth Q. Describe your experience there. I think you started as a seventh grader and went all the way through high school.
Yeah, August of my seventh grade year, I started out from a family friend of mine that was there since sixth grade, and so I joined him. And ever since then, I stopped my senior year. Ever since then, it was an amazing experience.
And now you're a sophomore at Loyola in Baltimore, right? Mm-hmm. And you still are connected with them, right? Kind of as an intern or an assistant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since I'm back home for college, I've been helping out with VIP. I'm helping them sing and helping them do a bunch of things as well.
So how do you think this experience of being in Holly's youth choir, the Voices in Praise, how has that helped you through difficult times in your life, difficult times like the pandemic?
Well, as you just mentioned, I'm keep on going back. And I think it's just a huge family that Holly created. And I think we do a choir tour every 2 years where we go domestically, and internationally we go every 4 years. So my first tour was my seventh grade year. We went to Canada, and then we went to Tennessee 2 years after that. And then we went to Belize 2 years after that. And every single one of those trips, it's a lot of hard work put into it. And it's just every Monday night and every other days of the week as well. It's just constant singing, but it's basically the presence of extended family. And you may not know everybody who's been there over the years, like the alumni who's been there over the years, but that you just feel connected with everybody there, no matter if they just came or they just joined in sixth grade, or they've been alumni and have like children now. We're just so connected, and you can talk to Holly. I think Holly is just like the bridge of like each generation of VIPs. So you can just like talk to Holly, and she's been through it all. She's seen it all, and she's a very, very wise director. And just the people there it's like family, and they've been very, very helpful.
Oh, and Josh, you need to know too, as well, that Holly has the same kind of relationship with her colleagues too across the country. So she really is a bridge builder of, and just creates this wonderful community wherever she goes. And what a wonderful mentor for those of you who are coming through her program, because you too, as you reach adulthood and in your own ways and in your own lives, you can create that kind of loving community around you too. It's a beautiful thing to watch. So you've seen some of the world now through the VIP tours. You've obviously seen a lot of the problems in the world. You're seeing those on your own television screen and online and through the world. The eyes that we see today, a lot of problems out there. If you could pick one problem and solve it, what would that be?
I know this is like a generic, you know, everybody says this, but I would definitely, if I could just snap my fingers, I would definitely like eliminate poverty throughout the whole world. And I think, you know, like the basic third world countries in Central America, or in Africa, but when I went to Belize, just the amount of you know, people on the street, or people who have homes built out of garbage bags, and for my church, I went to Nicaragua for a church mission, and just the amount of poverty that I've seen throughout the world, and even in the United States, when I went to another church mission in Connecticut. Where we were like renovating homes and all that. Even in there, I saw people living just in unbearable circumstances, which was extremely saddening to see, even in the United States, the richest country in the world, to have that level of poverty and that level of income inequality. It's just extremely saddening to witness. And my family's from Peru. So even there as well, it's just extremely saddening to see, you know, my people in Peru go through all that. So I definitely think if I were to solve one problem, I would definitely eliminate poverty. Because it just, let's say if I just snapped my fingers and gave like everybody like a guaranteed income, you know, like yearly, that just doesn't eliminate poverty, but that also, you know, gives them enough wealth to, you know, invest or to feed their family, or to, you know, get them out of homelessness, so eliminating poverty goes a long way than just eliminating poverty. It can also, you know, decrease death rates, increase birth rates. It's just giving people cash, I feel like just they're giving people enough, you know, opportunity and the resources to build up and like not start from, you know, level zero, but give them enough resources to start from a higher level. Definitely goes a long way. And I think that's what I would definitely Definitely do.
Well, the implications of that are so huge, because it's not just money. It's about the whole opportunity and the potential there. And, you know, watching your face as you've talked about this, this is a very emotional issue for you, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it is. Definitely.
I can see that. So, Josh, when we get to the other side of this pandemic, whatever the new normal ends up being, we're going to have to figure it out, I guess. But how do you hope the world will be a better place than it was before?
Well, I definitely hope that we are more aware of our privileges and our the things we take for granted on the day-to-day basis. I mean, you have millions of people who have been unemployed. You have millions of families that are suffering. So I think it's just a good opportunity for Americans, not even Americans. You have a good opportunity for humankind, for human beings all around the world to just, you know, wake up and be like, okay, I've taken these things for granted all my life. So what can I do better to, you know, to be thankful, to be gracious, and, you know, to help maybe those who are less fortunate than me, to be more caring, to be more loving.
You say in more compassion, really?
Yeah.
Is that sort of the word?
Think, yeah. I think one thing this pandemic hopefully changes is just how to be more compassionate and more, you know, willing to lend a hand if you see help.
Mm-hmm. Hearing you talk and the way that you think and the way that you express yourself, I can easily see why Holly has held on to you as long as she has to help you mentor those younger in her group, because you are making an enormous contribution to that group of students who, as you know from your own experience, you really look up to those college students and those who are older and have more experience. And when that person that you're looking up to is modeling the kinds of things that you are modeling right now, that is huge. That is enormous, an enormous contribution to any group, but it's also a contribution to the world. And so keep up the good work, keep up the great thoughtful approach that you have. You're a good, excellent communicator of your thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. So keep that going, Josh.
Thank you.
So you have any final thoughts for us before we leave?
Thoughts and prayers. You know, 2020 is almost done. Let's hope and pray that 2021 is a better year for all of us.
For sure.
Yeah. Just, you know, keep on going throughout these this holiday season, and, you know, God bless.
Josh, thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
QCast is the podcast of YouthCube, creating soundtracks for life since 1990. Producer, Robert Sterling. Online publishers, Colin Witt and Preston Edwards. Theme music by Robert Sterling. Special thanks to Stanley Pilant, Holly Reynolds Lee, Joyce Blakesley, Bobby Miller, Maddie Jones, Joshua Torrico, Ruthie Balcom, and Matthew Lippi. I'm Randy Edwards. We'll see you again next Tuesday for another episode of QCast.